Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Thursday, everybody. Sean Campbell here, your local alternative Solid State Radio. And there is much to be done this afternoon. Of course, we're just days away from the Lions playing in the NFC title game. And we'll have a few things probably to get on there later on in the show. Of course, the big thing today is going to be Jim Harbaugh is officially gone. He is bound for the Los Angeles Chargers, ending this ongoing saga of, well, is he finally going to the NFL this year? Is it actually going to happen? Or is he going to come back to Michigan with his tail between his legs? So we'll get a little bit into that coming up, what it means for the future of the program and what it means for Harbaugh. And, well, is he going to be any good as an NFL coach at this point, having been gone from it for so long? Were the Chargers the right fit for him? I would say absolutely. But we'll get into all that stuff coming up as well. And I think we'll be able to squeeze time for a little judgment, too. A little bit of am I the a-hole, because those are always just so much fun to do. We'll get into the Harbaugh stuff next, though. It is Happy Hour. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. The struts at your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour. Let's get right into it, shall we? Jim Harbaugh, he gone. He's headed off to the Los Angeles Chargers to be their next head coach. Our long, seemingly like half a decade long nightmare here locally is finally done. I've been ready for this for quite some time, because it seems like every offseason we have to go through this Harbaugh flirting with the NFL. Like, I don't know, I might go coach the Vikings. I might go coach the Chicago Bears. Am I going to go or not? I don't know. And being all coy about it and everything else. And I, quite frankly, am glad to be done with this. And if we're to be honest with ourselves, it was really the perfect time for him to go. He got a natty for Michigan. He would be no doubt facing increased scrutiny from the NCAA if he were to come back, including possible more suspensions and, you know, forfeits of games and things of that nature, additional punishments, immunity clause or not. And really no good was going to come of sticking around. You did what you set out to do. You beat Ohio State multiple years in a row. You finally won a national title that you're not sharing with another school for the first time in like half a century. You did everything that you came in and set out to do. And you're leaving basically a trail of God knows what in your wake once the NCAA is done here. Best really to pull a Pete Carroll and bolt to the NFL now to avoid the consequences of your actions. So in that sense, perfect time to go. The San Diego Chargers gig opened up finally this offseason. I argued Brandon Staley probably should have been gone before the start of this season. But they've got some solid pieces to work with there. You have a franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert. You have a squad, really, in general, that has contended in the last few seasons. It's at least made the playoffs. They're a good enough team to make the playoffs if the coaching can get out of its own way, which, for the most part, Brandon Staley very much could not do that. I mean, this is a team that last year went 10-7, made it to the playoffs, lost in the wild card round. Season before that, just barely missed out on the playoffs at 9-8. You have a guy in Austin Ekeler who, when healthy, is one of the better running backs in the league. You have Keenan Allen, who is arguably one of the best wide receivers in the game. You've got some solid pieces there, and you have a team that, obviously, this year it didn't go so well for them, but in the relatively recent past has done quite well. And you'd think a guy like Jim Harbaugh should be able to come in there and turn things around relatively quickly. And he has a way of putting together some pretty solid coaching staffs. Rumors are Greg Roman might be joining him in Los Angeles as OC, which would be a hell of a hire if so. You know, the one downside is that you're playing in the AFC West, which runs through Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes for pretty much the foreseeable future, and the Raiders seem to be kind of coming around too. So it's going to be difficult. But I think he can at least make this team competitive in fairly short order. As far as the Michigan side and just how badly he's really leaving them, well, that won't really be known until the NCAA levies their actual punishments upon U of M. As far as who's next in the pipeline, Sherrone Moore was going to be a hot coaching prospect elsewhere if Michigan didn't hold on to him. He is presumably your next guy and should be your next guy. He's shown what he can do with the staff that, or with the players that Harbaugh had here. Like, having him not coaching for half the season really didn't hurt you as much as you would think that it would. The question is, what players are going to stick around? Who's all? You already know that some of your big names are planning on entering the draft this year, and on top of whoever is going to end up jumping into the transfer portal. But I mean, you just won a natty at Michigan. If you're really jumping ship this offseason, after that, well, and heading to another school, particularly, then I really can't help you. But I don't imagine that's going to happen, minus some guys that are just blocked by, you know, players ahead of them on the depth chart. We'll get into some more of this coming up here on the other side of the break. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Bleachers at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour. And the question's been kind of getting asked a lot around parts of the Michigan and really just Michigan sports fan sphere today. And that is, with Jim Harbaugh's departure to go coach in Los Angeles, are the Wolverines better off today than they were when Jim Harbaugh came in? Did he leave the program in better shape than it was in when he left? Fair question to be asked, and admittedly, a bit simplistic, I know, to say, well, they didn't have a natty in this century before he came here, which, fair. Hard to argue around it. And a lot of it's really going to depend on your thoughts on whatever sanctions might be levied against your school by the NCAA, for instance. How much do you really care if they officially vacate the wins and act like none of that existed and start taking away titles and things of that nature? Really kind of depends on that to an extent. Like, if you are of the mind of a lot of people in the Wolverines fan base, and for this, I don't exactly blame them. I don't care. We want a natty. That's all we really care about. You can tell us it doesn't count. We don't care. Honestly, entirely valid viewpoint. I'm fine with that. And it's really kind of hard to take away from the guy that got you that, even if he had to cheat to get there. But honestly, it's kind of hard to argue that a team that really was not doing particularly well in the Brady Hoke era, though, you know, a lot of people argue when Harbaugh came in 2015 and went 10-3 and won a bowl game, oh, well, that was all Brady Hoke's players. But for the most part, minus the COVID year, and we don't count the COVID year, quite frankly, it's hard to argue that the team wasn't better when he left than when he came in, that they weren't certainly winning the recruiting game in this state and elsewhere. I don't think there's really an argument against that the program is better off, that he left it better than where it was when he found it. Now, like I said, you could have some guys hit the transfer portal in the offseason. I don't think that'd be necessarily a wise move. Sherrone Moore is going to come in there, and honestly, I think he's going to have every bit as good of a run here as maybe Harbaugh did, maybe sans another national title. But I don't see that you have a whole lot of people who are going to jump ship, minus the guys who are already declaring for the NFL draft.
Yeah, we've seen more what he can do when he had that audition stint when Harbaugh was suspended. We honestly saw he did well.
He had some mighty fine play calling, some stuff that I'm not even sure Harbaugh would have done.
Right.
Was it the Penn State game where he just kept running the ball down their throat, basically daring them to stop him, and they couldn't? Like, see, these are things that allow you to not have to show off everything that J.J. McCarthy could do until the postseason. Like, you don't, when you can just do stuff like that, just run, keep running, Gorham, just keep running, just do it. 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and it's actually working because they can't figure out how to stop it. Like, things like that,
yep.
You know, let you protect a little bit of, let you get a little bit of the element of surprise, I guess, when you have to finally go and face a Bama or Washington.
Yeah, I mean, you probably touched on it, Harbaugh or no Harbaugh. Michigan was going to be taking a step back from that national title. They weren't going to go back-to-back. You're losing Corum. You're losing McCarthy. Who else are you going to lose? I don't think you're going to lose anybody to the transfer portal.
no one of any consequence.
Not really. I mean, Michigan is back to where a lot of people, a lot of Michigan, delusional Michigan fans thought they always were, but, you know, the destination for a lot of aspiring football players. So I think that is going to help.
They're a national brand again and actually have the results to back it up.
Yep. They've got a banner, for at least for now.
honestly, I don't think the Michigan fans care about the for now part.
No. They've got a national title. That's it.
No one's taking that away from them.
Nope.
I mean, the NCAA is going to try and take it away from them, but in their hearts and minds, doesn't matter. We want a natty.
Yep.
We know we want a natty. We watch that game. Mm-hmm. You don't have the little men in black mind erasers yet, as far as I know, unless the NCAA is working on that next. So there's no taking that from you.
Yep. I'm still looking forward to next season.
I'm looking forward to not having to talk about another coaching distraction in next offseason. Is Sharon Moore going to the NFL? Like, I don't feel like we're going to be hearing those calls necessarily, at least not this offseason, probably not for a few at least.
When
that'll be nice.
When it was announced that Harbaugh was going to, you called it, he was going to the Chargers.
The only place it made sense. They have a franchise QB. Yep, they have a solid staff down there. And I don't know, like, they've hired him before they hired a GM, so presumably he's going to have some input on who's buying the groceries.
And living in that L.A. area, it's the glitz, the glamour that he, for an attention-seeking individual such as Captain Khaki Pants.
It's also a place that he played in the past, so he's going to get a little bit of, I think, for one, he's going to get a little bit of a pass if things don't turn around right away, because, well, it's much like, you know, here, Eisenman taking over as a GM with the Red Wings. It's a lot like the Red Wings.
It's a lot like the Red Wings. It always comes
like,
back to the Wings.
You bring back a franchise, a guy who's really a good QB for that team as the new coach, and even more so because he has an established coaching record. He's been to a Super Bowl, and people don't necessarily like, oh, well, the game's changed so much. Yes, it has, but also he's really good at putting the right people around him. Like, or I heard rumors that Greg Roman might be his new OC again. Who he was there when I believe when he was coaching San Fran. Like, if you can get the band back together, or at least identify some really good talent around you at the coordinator positions, that's half the battle. And that's something Harbaugh has always been exceedingly good at, especially at the NFL level. So I don't really worry about there being that much of a rough transition there.
I do think the NFL has changed since he was coach of the Niners. But I think it has changed to his skill set. It's almost tailor-made for him now. The big the long bomb passes, the kind of defense that he likes to play.
And, well, you're not wrong about that. And certainly is it's also tended more towards, you'll notice, to like the mobile QB style, which is obviously his brother John has had a significant amount of success with. In Baltimore, with was right now the odds on Super Bowl favorite, Lamar Jackson, the Ravens.
Yes, they
Ravens,
are.
Rather.
The Raiders.
Raiders. Yeah, them too.
All of them.
So it seems like very much he can come in here. I mean, maybe don't expect things to change immediately because he is coaching in a division with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Mm. The AFC West goes through Arrowhead Stadium. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders are a contender this year, too.
Mahomes is too busy doing State Farm commercials, and now he's doing Arby commercials or something like that.
He's in the AFC title game yet again, so apparently he finds time to do it all.
He's taking some time out on the field. He's filming a commercial for Chipotle.
And yet here they are again with another chance to go to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's because Taylor Swift bought it.
Taylor Swift bought the Super Bowl. That's how this goes now.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened. It's a Kansas Swifty Chiefs now.
But I would say at this point in time, I think the Chargers could at least do as well as second in the AFC West this upcoming season. And depending on who they hire as GM, how they navigate their cap situation, and what moves they make in the offseason from a player personnel perspective, I could see that team at least challenging the Raiders for second in the division. I also expect Denver to get stuck in the dust again. next year. Like, I just don't see that shaking out. I have no faith in the Russell Wilson thing there and the Sean Payton. Well, it sounds like Wilson's going to be gone because they were demanding, well, either you're taking a pay cut or you're leaving or waiving some of that guaranteed money or whatever it was. So they're going to be basically starting over. So you at least have a good chance as anybody. You, unlike the Raiders, have an established quarterback in Justin Herbert. The Raiders, I don't see them exactly rolling forward with Aiden O'Connell, and I think the Jimmy G era there is very much over. I could see him having some success, maybe making it into the wild card next year. I mean, this is all very preliminary. I mean, this season's still going on.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to be like the disastrous move that I think some people are kind of hoping for.
We shall see.
Yeah, we shall. Here is AFI, your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Noah Kahn at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And, all right, we got to take a break from this football stuff for at least a moment because we have important things to deal with over there, and all of them are related to hockey.
Yeah. Hey, hockey town! A lot of things going on in the world of hockey. Let's start with the positive. Or hopefully positive. The Wings take on the Philadelphia Flyers. They're coming to town.
Oh, good old Coach Torts.
Torts? Tortorella. He's going to be in town with the Philadelphia Flyers. 100% less Carter Hart. We'll talk more about that in a minute.
Yeah, he's even placed on that there sexual assault leave, apparently.
Yeah. And unfortunately, he is leading their goaltenders. 12 wins with a 2.8 goal against average. He's also leading the league in sexual harassment suits or sexual offense suits. So, I mean, looking at the teams as they pair up, the goals for, I mean, you got Philadelphia Flyers 20th in the league with 141 goals, and you got the Wings with 164 goals. That makes them fourth in the league. shooting percentage. The Wings are third in the league.
Yeah, scoring is not our problem by any means.
Yeah, it's all defense.
Could you get Stevie? I know we passed Christmas and all that, but maybe a Valentine's Day gift of a defenseman here in Detroit. Could you maybe get us Chris Tanev?
That would be nice.
I would love that.
You got until March 8th. That's when the trade deadline is. Make it happen. I mean, All-Star break's coming up there. Maybe Tanev, he's with Calgary, right? So go talk to the GM from Calgary. Work your Jedi mind trick like you do and bring us Tanev.
See. I mean, I'd settle for Noah Hanifin too. That's fine.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not a picky guy. All I'm asking for is, you know, a defenseman waiting under our Valentine's Day tree or whatever. Or at least
just... What is a Valentine's Day tree? It's like on top of it's just Cupid, but instead of bulbs, it's just like condoms.
or just ship Jeff Petrie out of here. I don't care. One of the two.
Yeah, he got a nice juicy penalty again last game against Dallas. Good for him.
Yeah.
He's consistent. That's
consistently bad.
Yeah, consistently in that box. I haven't seen the projected lineups. I can only assume that Alex Lyon's in there. Positive note.
Who else we got to start?
Well, Veli Huso, he is back. He's on loan to Grand Rapids for a conditioning stint. And
so, yeah, who else do we have?
Right. Well, Reimer, but, you know, even Reimer's like, don't put me in, coach.
Lyon is starting tonight.
Yep. So that would make sense. They called up somebody, the Red Wings did, and I can't remember who they
called. Well, looking at the lineup, the projected, they're saying, JT Compher did not skate yesterday due to illness, but did participate this morning, and Ben Sherratt was absent for both, so he's most likely out.
Okay, Brogan Rafferty. They call it he's going to be wearing number 52. He's played for us, I believe. He's been called up.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to see who else, like, if Rafferty is the only other healthy guy, if Compher can't go, the Wings would probably go 11-7 at that point.
Yeah, I mean, Sherratt, I don't know what's going on with him, but he's listed as out. So I mean,
he's not going to play. Compher is they think he's going to play,
and they put Patrick Kane on the IR, which means he probably won't be suited up when we go see the team on the 31st.
I know they were hoping that he was going to be ready by the end of this month, is what Derek Lalonde was saying just the other day at a at a press conference.
I don't rush him back. I mean, hang out for a little bit, because I have a feeling, I have a very positive feeling that April we're going to see some playoff hockey with the Red Wings. I truly believe so.
I don't disagree with you. Also, Rafferty's already been up for the team. Like, I've missed, apparently.
He's been called up. I don't know if he's played any games.
It's kind of hard to say, honestly. Like, I don't remember seeing him show up in the stat sheet, certainly.
No.
And, I don't remember seeing him on the ice. I mean, I know he's technically... This is like his seventh trip up the up I-96 the last couple, the last, 12 days or something?
Yeah, and he hasn't, he never gets any ice time that I know of.
No, he has not shown up on the score sheet or like having played at all. Like, he's been a healthy scratch the entire time. But
on my sheet here, January 21st against Montreal. What's the date today? Oh, okay, January 21st apparently. He was there, and he scored an assist.
He hasn't played yet this season. He played a couple games with the Canucks. This might be from back then. That, I can't believe that's the last time he's actually played.
Brogan Rafferty.
He's okay. Got three career games played in the NHL. Hmm. All of them were with the Canucks. Two of them in the 18-19 season, and one in the COVID year.
Okay, yep, because Yahoo only gave me half the information.
It brought you the game logs from the last time he was up.
Yep. I mean, so he got an assist, I guess.
So, yeah, it seems very likely if Comfer doesn't go that they'll roll 11-7 with Rafferty being their seventh defenseman.
At this point, give him some time. Give him some ice time. Let's see what we got. I mean, he's 28 years old. Let's see if you're wasting any time with this cat before you cut him loose.
Right. I mean, see if he's going to be the guy. If not, maybe you'll start seeing a little more Simon Evanson with these call-ups going
forward.
That's
going to have to happen eventually. I mean, that kid's, he can only learn so much in the NHL.
Yeah, eventually he's got to face actual NHL caliber talent. Yep. And I think we're getting close to that point. I'm gonna call it right now. By the end of this season, Evanson is going to find himself in the Red Wings lineup for good. Like, he's going to get called up by the end of the season and then never go back down. It's a bold prediction, I know.
That's a fair prediction, quite frankly. I mean, the kids get he's getting a lot of looks in the Grand Rapids area. So is Marco Casper. He's been doing really well the last couple of games. So you should be able to seeing them sooner than later. Do we talk about the Filthy Five, or do we want
to... Well, we already kind of alluded to it, so we might as well.
The Filthy Five, trademark that. I just came up with that. So
okay.
Everybody pays me a nickel every time they say it.
Oh, for what it's worth, by the way, Simon Evanson missed yesterday's game in Grand Rapids with an injury that is not expected to be serious, and that might have made the difference between him and Rafferty getting the call up.
Yep, okay. Makes sense. Yeah, so Carter Hart, and I can't remember all the guys.
Cal Foote,
which is Adam Foote's kid. Couple players for, like, he believe he is one of the
there was another Islanders player,
Justin,
wasn't
there? Dowling. Oh, no, wait, okay. Michael McLeod and Cal Foote from New Jersey. They have been granted a leave of absence. Let me see if they tell me who else is involved here. But yeah, I haven't seen anything. There's five players that were granted leave of absence.
Michael McLeod and Cal Foote, Carter Hart, Dylan Dubé of the Calgary Flames, and former NHL player Alex Formanton, who is now playing in Europe.
Okay, well, they have all been called on the carpet for when they were playing for Team Canada, I think the World Juniors, back in 2018. Something happened, and it's coming to light, and these kids are in trouble.
They've been asked to surrender to police to face sexual assault charges.
Wow. Wow. What has gone on with the world of hockey? Is it A, because it used to be we would look at football, baseball, and basketball. And it's like, see, now hockey players don't get caught into that. Hockey players, yeah, they get rough on the ice, but they handle themselves well. Have our heads just been in the sand this whole time?
Possibly, yeah. Like, I honestly think that a lot of this stuff has always been going on, but it was just never reported on or brushed under the rug, or you didn't have people...
But does the NHL have that clout to where they can pay people shut up money, or, you know, oh, I don't want to ruin that guy's hockey career, as opposed to, you know, football player, basketball player, baseball player.
Well, some of the owners might have that kind of money, honestly, to make this stuff go away. Like, I believe in a different era. The Chicago Blackhawks scandal stays under wraps, and they're able to basically pay that to go away.
I mean, I was going to say, well, Jimmy Devolano wouldn't do that, but Jimmy Devolano was farming people from Russia, so, the Soviet Union, so yeah, maybe.
Like, there are always...
He was human trafficking.
A little bit of a different scenario, but yeah.
Sorry, put Jimmy Devolano on the apology list.
Probably should.
He was not a human trafficker.
No. You know, unless you were a Russian hockey player.
Yeah.
So, that being said, like, I think a lot of this stuff, like, probably always happened, but people were more hesitant to speak up about it, either whether it's they were paid off to do so, or they were facing the threat of being blackballed from playing in the sport if they did come out and say something.
Right.
And everyone would just act like, oh, no, oh, they're crazy. They're making all this up. And then, you know, yeah, being enough to get them blackballed and just cow them into being silent about it.
Yep.
So it, I'm sure it was always there to an extent.
I mean, all five on like one victim, or I mean,
I don't know. They haven't really released any more details, and I don't want to speculate too much about that.
Yeah, I want that.
let's not.
Yeah, right.
Messages left for the agents representing the players and Hart's lawyer were not immediately returned. So there was an investigation. Okay, so I have an answer to your question. Police in London, Ontario, launched an investigation in 2022. After word emerged that Hockey Canada had settled an assault with a woman who said she was sexually assaulted by eight members of that team at a gala.
Oh, my God.
Five players from that team were asked to surrender to police in the city halfway between Toronto and Detroit to face charges of sexual assault. A spokesperson for London Police wouldn't confirm the report, but, I mean, it seems like that's what happened.
Wow. That's nuts.
Yeah. So that is something we know, and sure enough, well, like I said, Hockey Canada tried to basically paid her off.
Ah.
And now it sounds like criminal charges are being pressed over that now that the civil suit has been settled.
Wow. Man, that's let's keep this as a learning tool for everybody, not just professional hockey players, but you keep it in your pants. No means no, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, consent is kind of a big deal.
Right.
And, well, these guys are going to find out just how big of a deal that is when they're all potentially, well, the four of them that are still in the NHL are blackballed from the NHL for good.
Unless you married her, then she has to. No.
Good God, man.
I got a paper, woman.
The Adam Harahuck story, apparently.
No. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
That's the only reason he gets any. It's... Here's 30 Seconds to Mars at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Cross is at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And I don't know if you've heard about this yet. It conveniently dropped right around the same time that this scandal dropped in the NHL yesterday.
What's that?
Apparently, the NHL's looking at a new market for a team.
Do tell.
You're never going to guess where it is. Actually, I'm gonna try and make you guess where it is.
Oh, it's probably Houston.
Actually, no.
Not Houston?
Not Houston.
Would they wouldn't actually throw a bone to Quebec, would they?
Of course not. That's ridiculous, Adam. Those people, even though they love hockey, will never get another team. That's crazy talk.
So, and probably not another Canadian team at all.
Correct.
Where's a goofy... probably like a Utah or something like that.
Ding, da, da, ding, da, da, ding, ding. Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City.
The owners of the Utah Jazz said Wednesday they have the immediate ability to bring an NHL team to Utah and requested the initiation of an expansion process.
Okay. Two schools of thought. Man, actually, as my mind's going, three, four, six schools of thought. First of all,
you don't have that many thoughts, Adam. Come on now.
Not that I'm bagging on hockey. I love hockey. But if you have only had Utah Jazz for X amount of, 30 years?
Something like that.
You've only had basketball you want to move on to another sport, why not a sport that brings in more money, like football or basketball?
Because, let's be honest, they can't afford to bring a football team to
Utah. I guess, yeah, the price tag for an expansion team for the NFL or MLB would probably be
And I don't think baseball is going to help them any, because like, baseball is not markedly more popular than hockey in most places.
Yeah, that's true. So,
Also not trying to expand beyond their 32 teams, because the NFL has at least smarter people running it than the NHL.
Yeah, 30. You are NHL. Sit down for a second. Let's chat with y'all. Now, you are in the top four, definitely top four, but you are number four. Okay. And everybody else, if you look around the league, go ahead, take a look. Yep, they all have 32 teams or less. You notice something? Remember about 23 years ago, you had like 28 teams? Wasn't that comfy? Wasn't that nice? And now you got 32 teams all over the United States. And it's good, but let's just call it good.
Yeah, 32 teams is probably the exact right number to have.
Unless,
there's no reason to expand further.
Unless, and this is my third school of thought, move the Coyotes to Utah.
I'm down with that. That's kind of my thought, too. Like, they're talking about expansion. I think we're talking the wrong thing here. We should be discussing relocation of a franchise.
Bettman's not going to do that. For some reason, Bettman has...
Well, of course not, because he's a moron.
Bettman loves the Coyotes in Arizona. He loves it. He insisted upon that if that they sign a contract, I don't know if they ever did that, they could not relocate for 10 years. And I think my only theory as to why Bettman needs the Coyotes in there is because he knows the Coyotes will fail and bring down the average and be able to help keep the salary cap down. But it's such a joke. I mean, we've complained about the Arizona / Phoenix Coyotes since the inception of this show. It is a failure. It's a failure. Get them out of there. If this ownership group is willing to put in the money, maybe they will put together a team, coaching, a GM, and actually get something going, as opposed to a team that had to be run and financed by the NHL.
It would make sense to do it that way, but I think at this point, Bettman just doesn't want to admit to being wrong about this.
It's a very expensive hubris.
Quite the expensive hubris, really. But yet, this thing presses on. And now they're talking about, I mean, you know, it's rather interesting.
Yeah.
That the Utah thing comes out when there's been talks of Atlanta also getting an expansion team.
That will not go away. I mean, they've also filed their paperwork.
And I have no idea, honestly, why. Like, what do they think it's going to... What do they think they're really going to get from this? Like, other than yet another failed franchise there.
Say third time's a charm?
Apparently.
I mean, who's behind that? Was that Anson Carter?
Anson Carter, yeah.
Anson Carter, and there were some other names in there. They have been pushing for... Kevin Weeks must have something to go on with that, because every time there's even somebody whispers a name, hockey, he's tweeting about it. So Kevin Weeks, I think, has some sort of interest in hockey in the Atlanta area. But it didn't work. It didn't work for the Flames. They moved to Calgary. It didn't work for the Thrashers. They moved to Winnipeg and became the Jets again.
It hasn't worked yet, but we're so insistent that, the third time's this time it's actually going to work.
Well, they know that Atlanta market...
It's a large media market.
It is, but if nobody's going to your games, if nobody gives a damn, you had to have a publicity stunt where the Thrasher mascot was driving on a high-speed, quote-unquote, police chase with the Zamboni down whatever main streets in Atlanta. And it didn't work.
No. Peachtree Drive, probably, because I think every street in Atlanta is legally required to be named Peachtree.
Yeah. So I don't know. At this point, If it was all put on my desk, Adam, we want to expand. We're going to expand. We're going to 33 teams because we love the number 33.
We want to have an odd number for some reason, just to screw with everybody.
We loved it. We loved it when we had an odd number. Are we going to SLC or are we going to the ATL? You're going to Utah. Get those Mormons playing hockey, because it didn't work once. It didn't work twice. Why waste our time?
And I tend to think it's not going to work in Utah either. I don't think there's quite enough of a population base and corporate base to support it. And Salt Lake City, like, as far as media markets go, like, it's, I don't think it would be the smallest on the list, but it has to be close to it.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean they're towards the West Coast, I guess, not the West Coast, but the West. There's still a lot of travel involved. They'd be really in their own little island.
Well, to an extent, I mean, you've got Colorado, the next state over, at least.
Yeah,
but I don't. I know why they're trying to do this, because they're trying to set themselves up as like the winter sports destination, because they do have another bid in on a Winter Olympics for 2034.
They did a good job in 2002. Salt Lake City, I got to give it up to them. They did. I mean, Canada got the gold that year, and America got the silver. Chelios, Iserman, Hall, and Shanahan were on those teams respectively. So I don't know. I think that would be more of a hockey hotbed than, say, Atlanta.
So as far as like where the metro area for them ranks on the list here in the U.S.,
okay,
they have a population in their area of about, the estimate is about 1.2 million people in the metropolitan statistical area of Salt Lake City.
Sure.
Which puts them just above Birmingham and below Richmond, Memphis, Louisville, Oklahoma City, Raleigh, Milwaukee, Providence, Rhode Island, and Jacksonville, Florida.
You're squeezing that many people in Providence?
I'm as stunned as you are, man.
Or the state motto was, oh, excuse me. Sorry. Didn't mean to bump into you. Excuse me. I didn't realize I ever met that many people in Rhode Island.
Yeah, who knew? You okay. Know, apparently,
I mean, I get
1.6 mil.
Listen, I get it. I'm not naive to think that, okay, everybody at a Wings game is from the city of Detroit. I'm not going to say that everybody who goes to a Toronto Maple Leafs game is from Toronto. There's the outstanding areas, but still, it's sparsely populated compared to a lot of the other places, like Birmingham, like you mentioned, or Memphis. I mean,
so if we want to even branch out a little bit, combine statistical areas,
sure,
which I think would encompass a larger area, like instead of San Fran being its own or whatever, it's Oakland, San Jose,
yep,
San Fran or whatever. Looking at that, scrolling down, how far down do they actually rank on that? They still don't place in the top 30, that's for sure. They would come in at, looking at it, God, did they actually slide even further down than the 40-something that place that they already would have been? I think they actually might. I'll get back to me on that.
Sure. Well, Utah.
Okay, found it. 22. Okay. 22, which would put them above Pittsburgh, San Antonio, and Sacramento. But this is also including like Provo and Orem, which are, so it's like the entire effing state, basically.
Yeah.
But still below St. Louis, below Portland, which doesn't have a team, below Charlotte, below Cleveland, which doesn't have a team, and below Orlando, which doesn't have a team.
They don't want one. That makes sense to them. I mean,
but you know, depending on how you're looking at it, it's still not. Is there enough people in the market really to fully justify it? And I'm not sure that there is.
I don't know. I mean, if I wouldn't be looking at Atlanta. I wouldn't be looking at Salt Lake. I'd be looking at Houston. I have been a big proponent the fact that the Houston area can support a team. Now, I will say Salt Lake City, with the exception of college football and the Jazz, you don't have a whole lot of competition for other sports. So you have that going for you, which is nice, especially in the winter. But you don't have a whole lot of the people. I mean, Atlanta, they have the people, but you're also competing with the Hawks. You're competing with the Braves. You're competing with the Falcons.
Well, you're only competing with, really, for most of your season, the Falcons and the Hawks. I mean, the Braves are really a non-factor until, like, when the playoffs start.
Playoffs?
And as far as, as we've seen of late, you're not exactly competing particularly with either of the other Atlanta teams either. Neither one of them made – the Falcons didn't make – Falcons, I don't believe, made the playoffs, and the Hawks are not doing well.
No.
Better than the Pistons, but that's not saying anything. But I
not
don't
– saying anything at all.
I don't think it'll necessarily work in Atlanta a third time around. Twice was enough, and the other one, the last one was relatively recently. It was in the last decade.
Yeah. They came in the league in 99,
and then they were gone in 2012?
2009, I believe.
God, I don't think it was that long ago. I think we were into the 2010s before Winnipeg came back.
Oh, no. Okay. No. The Wings met the Thrashers in the first round of the playoffs in 09.
Right. They Jets came back in, 2012.
2012. Okay. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, gave it a solid, decade and a half, and it never really went anywhere.
It didn't work.
And this, when it was owned by the same company that at the time owned the Hawks and I want to say the Falcons. Or there was another team that they also owned.
You had a competent ownership group. You just didn't have the interest. You just didn't have the interest. And you know what I find interesting? The radio silence from one Gary Bettman on this. I haven't heard one peep from him about NHL going back to Atlanta.
Yeah, meanwhile, he was quoted in the ESPN article about the Salt Lake City thing.
Oh, what did he say about that? Shake your head when you say it, because that's how he does.
Yeah, you kind of
he's his own bobblehead.
You do kind of have to do that, and I'm looking at it. Okay. In a statement, they say...
You really don't have to shake
it. During conversations over the course of the past 2 years, we've been impressed by Ryan and Ashley Smith's commitment to their community and their passion and vision for Utah, not only as a hockey market, but as a preeminent sports and entertainment destination. Utah is a promising market, and we look forward to continuing our discussions.
But because it's run by Mormons, we can't serve coffee. Any questions? Because the Mormon... stranglehold is huge in that area.
Right. The Coyotes did decline comment on the Salt Lake City release. They've been adamant about remaining in Arizona. Yeah, they were actually asked for comment on the whole thing. So, you see, Utah wants a team. So, when are you guys moving?
Meep, meep.
They're talking about now they've executed a letter of intent to buy a piece of land for a potential arena in Mesa, Arizona. I don't think
I thought that was already a done deal. I thought they were building an arena.
Well, they've just bought the piece of land. I don't think they've built anything yet.
So are they still...
Because they were waiting for the whole Tempe thing to see if that was going to shake out.
And that didn't shake out?
No, the voters voted that one down.
Oh, I remember that. But then I thought for sure that they had a plan in place to build a new arena. Now, they're just now... Oh, my God. This team is a joke. I mean, not the team itself. There's some really good players on... the Arizona Coyotes. Whenever I'm bagging on the Coyotes, I'm not bagging on the players. But the ownership group, the NHL, their blind eye they're turning to this team, it's sad. These players deserve to be in a hockey market that wants them. They deserve to play. They are in the National Hockey League. They should play in a National Hockey League barn. They should be able to... I mean, I think of the movie Major League, which is a classic. I need to go back and watch
possibly it. The greatest sports movie of all time.
Well, no, bump the brakes a bit.
I know Slapshot exists.
Yes. Maybe we should watch those back to back. But these players are star quality, and they need to be treated as such. They need to be given time to shine. I think they should just dissolve the team and let the players be absorbed by the other franchises, or moving to Salt Lake City, Salt Lake. I got an apology list over here.
Oh, do you? Okay, yeah. Good.
So, I mean, something like that. I mean, it's just frustrating because I mean, Clayton Keller.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a fantastic player. I mean,
and he's being wasted in the desert, having nobody pay attention to him.
Playing in a 5,000-seat
college hockey arena in the desert.
Is it still considered an arena at that point? Because, I don't know.
In name only, possibly.
And it's not. I don't even think they're selling out the 5K.
I don't think so. They actually might not be. You would think they should be at 100% capacity every night.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, here we are. The Phoenix Arizona Coyotes, our 10th consecutive sellout.
Like, you'd think that that would absolutely be a thing, and thus far it isn't. Let's find out, shall we?
Oh, while you're looking that up, I mean, let's look at the Phoenix / Arizona Coyotes history. I mean, they had, was it Steve Shields was playing goal for them when he had 5 consecutive shutouts. You had Ed Jovanovski, Windsor guy. You had Shane Doan. If Shane Doan had played for, let's say, Pittsburgh or Colorado, he would have a cup. Shane Doan deserved a cup.
Okay, apparently 100% of capacity, allegedly.
Well, I would hope so.
You would hope so. I mean, if you can't sell out a 5,000-seat arena, then you have no business being in the National Hockey
League. How many people were there during the third period?
Zero.
Just so, there's just Mabel. She's 80 years young. She said, "You did a good job, boys. You tried your best. Good job." Thanks, Mabel. We're raising our stick to you. Now get out of here.
I mean, I feel like at some point there has to be, like, I mean, it's probably all season ticket holders at this point. Like, if you leave before the third quarter, like, you get your season tickets revoked. Like, I don't know if you had seen, there was with the New York Knicks, like, their celebrity section. They had
Spike Lee.
Well, no, I mean, he's always there, but there was a girl. She's a model. She's the one who was in the Robin Thicke video that everyone went all crazy about.
Emily Ratajkowski.
Yes, her. Yes. Like, her and her friend, like, left a game early, and then so the owner revoked their privilege to sit, like, in the celebrity courtside section or whatever. They should just apply that to Coyotes games, because it's got to be embarrassing when you're in the third period and there's, like, nobody in the stands at a 5,000-seat arena.
It's just like that episode of The Simpsons where they're trying to get these people in the cult. They stand up, put a little spotlight on them. Where are you going? Emily Ratajkowski stands up, and then the game just stops. You just hear the shoes stop squeaking, the ball bouncing up. Where are you going, Emily? Are you getting some popcorn? Because we can get you some popcorn. You have to use the facilities, because we can bring a bucket. Sit down, woman.
It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Barnes Courtney at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell.
Hi.
Want to do some judging?
Yes.
We're really good at this traditionally.
Adam's courtroom is in session.
And I feel particularly judgy today.
Okay.
I mean, I feel judgy every day, let's be honest, but I feel more judgy today than I normally do.
Sure.
So let's go ahead and do a little bit of Am I the A-hole, shall we?
Yes.
Because these are always fun.
Have you noticed that Open for Discussion has been on the air? Good for them.
It has?
Yeah. Weren't they there last Sunday?
No, they were there the first Sunday of the year, and then they've been off again, and they're going to be off this week.
Oh.
Apparently, they can't compete with the Lions games ever. Like, if there's ever a Lions game on a Sunday, they can't do a show.
Do they like the Red Wings? Oh, they do like the Red Wings.
So, like, if ever there's a Red Wings game that falls on a Sunday, we might as well expect them to not do a show that day, too.
I'm telling you, we need to get a TV in the studio. Problem solved.
Yeah, probably, but, well, are you paying for cable? I'm not.
Sean, we've watched many games in the studio. We've never paid for one because you are a pirate.
That's fair. So then you have it on the computer. What's the problem? Exactly.
Community? Yeah, all watch the same screen? I don't know.
Whatever. So anyway,
yeah.
Am I the a-hole?
Yes, you are. I'm sorry. Please.
Yeah, continue. You're right. I am. Am I the a-hole for taking advantage of the fridge and freezer my wife asked me to get for myself? I love this already. Also, my wife would totally encourage us to get another fridge and freezer just so we could have more beer here.
Yeah.
Which, that's how I know I got a keeper, folks.
Yeah, Rachel's a cool one. Yeah. She's a keeper.
My wife is vegan. She hadn't been vegan the entire time we've been together. She became a vegan relatively recently. At first, it wasn't really an issue. I would do my thing, she'd do hers. But as time goes on, she's taken more and more issue with my foodstuffs in the fridge. She knows that converting me to veganism isn't an option or something I would consider.
Sure.
One day, after another comment about my stuff, I got relatively annoyed and sarcastically asked something along the lines of, "What do you want me to do, get another fridge?" And she said she would, in fact, want me to do that. I was hesitant at first because it sounded ridiculous to me, but my wife pounced on the idea. Eventually, I caved, figuring I brought it up, and she called my bluff. I agreed to cut back on my stuff in the fridge while I was in the process of getting a new one, but I set up both a fridge and a freezer in the garage. Anyway, since I had a bunch of extra fridge space, I've been eating a ton more meat. I buy in bulk and freeze to save money instead of saving more space. My wife says I took advantage of her veganism and weaponized it against her. But I figured if I have all this stuff that I got to accommodate her, I may as well use it. So am I the a-hole?
No, I
the word hero doesn't get thrown around an awful lot these days.
I mean, I am back and forth on this. I mean, he really gave us a lot of... I like this writer. He gave us all the facts. He kind of let us know everything that's going on to where, while you're reading this, I'm like, okay, she became a vegan. That was her life choice. Okay, fine. They were living together, and then, you know, she granted him permission, like he needed permission. But, you know, she was like, fine, yeah, get your own fridge. Go for it. Allowed it to happen. And now she's what, pissed?
I think she pushed it to happen because the way he said it, they're like, she was complaining about him having meat in her fridge. Like, well, what do you want me to do, get my own fridge? And she was like, yeah.
Kind of.
So he did.
Idea. Yeah, it puts he's got his food in the garage, which is not the most convenient place when you're, you know, when you're watching the game and you want to get some Hot Pockets or whatever, or some meatballs on it.
Unless you want to watch the game in the garage. I mean, what good garage doesn't have a TV in it? Just saying.
So now she's like, what? She's pissed? She's upset?
Yeah.
She's upset that... it's probably the fact that she's probably worried about him because he says, I'm eating more meat. she walks in the garage and he's just slathered with barbecue sauce. Like, all this meat.
It's so good. Honey, you don't know what you're like missing.
A quarter of their family budget is going to meat bundles.
I mean, I could think of worse ways to spend it. That's all I'm saying. I can think of a lot worse ways.
Yeah. Oh, you know, electric bill is really skyrocketing since we're running two fridges, which, by the way, we don't have the money to pay because you subscribe to Omaha Steaks, which, by the way, they're at the goddamn front door. Third time this week. Oh, good. My spare ribs are here. You don't even get that for me. So, I don't know. I think... Should she be mad that he has his own fridge? No, it was her idea. Should she be mad that he's eating meat? No, because that she made her choice. Let him keep his. She's probably worried about his health, quite frankly, because it says it right in there. He sneaks it in there. It's like, I'm eating double the meat. I'm eating a lot of meat.
I don't think it means he's eating more food necessarily.
I ate a woodchuck last week. It was fantastic.
I mean, okay, sure.
Groundhog. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's eating more. Did you put groundhogs on the apology list? Probably sure.
Right now.
I don't think he's necessarily eating more food. It's just that more of the food he's eating is meat-based. I think that's what her issue is here. In which case, I don't see how you get to have an issue, quite frankly.
No, I don't know. She doesn't have a leg to stand on. And, I mean, he's keeping his his fridge in the garage, which I thought somebody told me that was only a Midwestern thing. I call BS on that.
Is it? Like, I don't know. I don't know too many people outside the Midwest, admittedly.
Yeah.
But like here, like everyone like has a garage fridge or at least a mini fridge. Like here we have a mini fridge. I'm working on eventually that's going to be upgraded to a full fridge. And we have a full freezer out here.
Well, you have a full freezer. I told you I was going to get you a fridge for the garage, and we're still working on that. I just got to get over to the area and see if one's available. Moving on. So no, I don't think there's an a-hole here, or they both kind of share a little bit of the a-hole medal in this one.
Nah, I think she's the a-hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess as it's written, yeah.
For being mad that he...
face value, yeah, I guess, yes, she is the a-hole.
No, she absolutely is, because she has an issue that you did the thing she told you to do. Like, I think she thought she was going to try and, well, don't eat so much meat. Like, she's going to try and convert him, and let's be honest here, that's never going to happen. Like, you're not going to convert him to your veganness. Like, that's not going to happen ever.
Your vegan ways, no.
Don't even try. Like, it's like he's mad, or rather, she's mad that he didn't go along with this lifestyle choice that she suddenly made well into their relationship.
Yeah,
and I don't think that's fair.
She probably went in there by herself, but knew that that kind of lifestyle, you need other people on board with you. And she probably thought, oh, well, if I become a vegan,
he's just going to do it.
He's just going to eventually give in because that because that's what men do with
women. And except A,
she gave him an out.
She did give him an out. B, that's not always necessarily true, especially when it comes to this. Like, dude's not just going to fall in love. You know, yeah, fine, I'll be vegan too. Like, you'd be amazed at how often that doesn't happen, by which I mean ever.
I dated a vegetarian for 2.5 years, and, you know, she tried to convert me, but I'm like, oh, more dead animal for me.
Yeah, I can't see anyone successfully converting you off of this.
No. I like meat with my meat.
Right. And Rachel's all good with meat, too. Like, she's never, like, done the, like, I'm going to try and do vegetarian. Like, she's relatively healthy when it comes to the food stuff, but, like, she's never gone full vegan, vegetarian, anything like that. She likes steak and all that as much as I do.
See, now...
That's why this works.
At this point, you know this is a live radio show, and I'm about to come clean on something. Something I haven't talked about is... Dorothy recently said she wants us all to go gluten-free.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So that's not happening, correct?
Oh, she's tried going gluten-free, and she feels a lot better. My stepson, Noah, when he doesn't eat gluten, he does very well. So there is, and if you talk to Mitch Gill, and he will tell you all the...
He won't shut
up about the evils of gluten, but... Folks, if you folks are out there gluten free, some of you have to because of celiac disease or whatever. I am fine with you. Okay, what I'm about to say is not a stab at you. It's just my own personal preference. Gluten free options are garbage. Gluten free pasta. I've never had like pasta noodles just like dissolve in your mouth, like cotton candy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not how that's supposed to work.
Gluten-free bread sucks. Gluten-free beer. I tried gluten-free beer. I took one sip of gluten-free. I've never spit out beer in my life.
I worked at a brewery that made a gluten-free beer at one point in time.
Yeah, and it was at the same place.
And
it was... It tasted like somebody already drank it.
Yeah, I would... like, I love working there. I love, you know, the guy that I worked for at the time, and like, I'm sorry, I couldn't drink that. Like,
oh, no.
Like you enjoy your gluten free beer. I hate it. That stuff was terrible.
I've never had a beer that attacks your gag reflex like gluten free beer. And I mean, people who live that gluten free lifestyle. First of all, okay, when I work where I work in a grocery store. Whenever somebody comes up and says and starts off the conversation, I'm on a gluten-free diet, I know immediately I'm in for a bad time. Because apparently, sense of humor or any kind of happiness is tied to gluten. These people, where's your gluten-free section? Well, our gluten-free items are next, like the gluten-free macaroni and cheese, guess what? They're by the macaroni and cheese. You know, should all be together. Oh, you should be all together. Oh, this, and they just get all upset.
Yeah, gluten-free people are not a particularly joyful folk, other than Mitch Gill.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He's the only exception I've met to that rule.
I think he found happiness in weed.
No, probably. Weed and bad dad jokes.
The dad jokes keeps him alive.
That's literally what gives him sustenance. Put Mitch Gill on the apology list.
Yes, I'll put Mitch Gill on the apology list.
Because otherwise I'll never be able to get voiceovers from him again. Probably not a good idea to piss off the VO guy.
Yeah, because no, guys, go ahead and leave me alone in the studio. You'll love my work. Solid State Radio, they can suck it.
That's probably exactly how that would
go.
They
can stick the gluten where the sun don't shine.
I'm Mitch Gill, and I approve this message. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Happy hours. We get set to get the hell out of Dodge on a Thursday afternoon. We're saving all the Lions stuff for tomorrow. Let's be honest. It's going to be mostly Lions minus, like, unsolicited advice. But that's basically the game plan for tomorrow. More Lions, 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 and more Lions. All that tomorrow afternoon at 3 or 5:30 on WMIC. Talk to you then. See ya.